So one of the things that's interesting about putting services and whatnot, liturgies together, is the options. And this is number three for me. And each one has been a little bit different with the readings, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, that's perfectly fine. The psalm, for example, that was in the book I use and to pray with was Psalm 128, which is what we heard at 7:30. And then last night and today we heard, what is it, 105? Is that what the psalm is, I think? But what I love about this particular psalm is the refrain, is the antiphon. The Lord remembers his covenant forever. Okay, so we've talked in the past about lots of things. And, you know, obviously, when we celebrate a day like today, Holy Family, I mean, who can live up to that? Not all of, I know that some of you mothers think your children probably walk on water. But I can only go by my experience, and I'm not going to go into it because some of it wasn't very pretty. I mean, some of it was just the natural experiences of living. You know, for example, my dad had lung cancer in the early 70s, and the fact that he survived that was a miracle because that was a death sentence back then. But the cure eventually killed him because of the intense radiation and the intense chemotherapy. It just blew his heart up, and he struggled in and out of the hospital for the last 10 years of his life, until he finally went in for the last time and fought like crazy to live, trying to make it to their 50th anniversary, which would have been in October. He went into the hospital at the end of June and hung on and hung on and hung on. And he died very beautifully, but I don't think it was until Mom finally said it's okay, you know, to go, that he did. And I was fortunate enough to be there with him in that moment. Now, that illness and whatnot, you know, was an ongoing 30-year event. But most of it was very, very good after he was pronounced clean. By and large, it was a very good experience for him. Now, my brothers and I, however, presented a different dynamic. Me being the youngest, I got to see my older brothers make a lot of mistakes. And I've kind of followed a few of them. But they all made decisions, and we all made decisions about how to manage this family life. And it's difficult. And I don't imagine that maybe yours is any different. One of the great joys, I'm sure, for parents are when their kids discover the word autonomy and what it might mean for them. For my older brother, he left. He graduated from high school, and I didn't see him for 20 years. That was his solution to his idea of his future and my mom's idea of his future, which were totally opposite. And it was quite a thing to see that happen. And mistakes were made not only in my family, but in our extended family. You know, some similar events and life experiences that took place in this messy thing we call trying to live. And we get a lot of good advice here. I gave Chris bad advice on the second reading. There's so many different options that I was hoping to hear the first part of the longer reading and then omit that part that doesn't apply to the year 2023 anymore. But, which we heard last night because I thought I told him not to read that, but because things, and I think in his life, were distracting. And that's absolutely fine. Nobody died. It's almost like the miracle of going to Mass with Jesuits. Nobody gets hurt most of the time. But anything can happen, too. But anyway, I would like to get back to the point of the Lord remembering his covenant forever. And it goes back to what I've talked to you about with the Trinity, And the fact that the Trinity is a family, and they've been a family from the very beginning, before the beginning, Father, Son, and Spirit, God, Son, Spirit, however you want to use those. And Mother is a perfectly good example or a reference point for God, because God is without gender. I mean, we've always referred to God the Father, and we continue to do so, but it's very clear that that's not the case. In God's image, we were created, right? Male and female, we were created. That's pretty standard. But nonetheless, this Trinity has existed from the very beginning, and that Jesus, when he comes into the world, being sent by God, finds himself in a Trinity of Joseph, Mary, and himself. So it's an ongoing continuation of that. And what Jesus really shows us is the Lord remembers his covenant forever in so many different ways. And if you have a bad image, or if your image of God is one of a punisher or somebody out to get you, and you've heard me say this 100 times, because I'm really, truly hoping that that image can be eradicated from your thought, because that's not at all how the Trinity works and how the Father. And I know you can find places where God seems awfully upset, right? There are places, not in the New Testament, but in some of the Hebrew scriptures, where you can see as the compilers of the literature are putting it together, God gets to be kind of the bad guy. I mean, it sounds justifiable in the process, but the fact of the matter is that this Trinity of being is out for our best interest always. Always. And the things that we see Jesus do are actually showing us who the Father is. Jesus has an opportunity to go after, say, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He doesn't do that. He challenges them, yes. He doesn't condemn them. When that woman caught in adultery was brought right to his feet, and they wanted to stone her right in front of Jesus, what does he do? He forgives her. He challenges once again the people. You who is without sin, cast the first stone. He shows mercy. He shows kindness. He shows compassion. Time and time and time again, because that's what he learned from the Trinity. That's who the Trinity is kind and merciful and compassionate. And time after time after time, we continue to see that. And even uses other individuals to even drive that in further. The woman who anoints his feet and then dries his feet washes them with her tears and dries it with her hair. And people around the table are saying, well, if he knew what kind of woman this was. And he says, those who have been shown great mercy show great love. So obviously Jesus and this woman had some sort of an encounter previous to this dinner experience where she is forgiven. And then her outpouring of love for Jesus, and to demonstrate to the rest of the crew that this is possible. The Sadducees and Pharisees and scribes are always trying to pinpoint sinners, pinpoint problems of people. And Jesus says, nope, God is bigger than all of that. Bigger than when your little narrow minds and what your little rules are. Our God is much bigger than all that. And he demonstrates it finally. And one of my teachers when I was in Israel, they used this phrase time and time and time again, especially when dealing with Lucan's parables, the costly demonstration of unexpected love. And it's time and time and time again of where this unfolds in the person of Jesus, to the point of his own death. You talk about costly. He was willing to do that because there was another side to it. There was the other side. The thing that we all have to do is, and we try to do this on a daily basis, of dying to ourselves to let God shine through. And that's precisely what happens when Jesus rises from the dead, is it's all this new. I mean, his own friends didn't recognize him. You've heard me say that 100 times. Something is amazingly different about going through this death process that is this amazing eternity of love, of compassion, of mercy. And we share in all that. All of us does. This is not if I'm a good boy or a good girl. It's who God is. The Lord remembers his covenant forever. The Lord is kind and merciful always. And it's always available if we open ourselves to it. And sometimes that opening up of ourselves to it means dying to ourselves a little bit. And it's the hardest thing that we have to do because we spend a ton of energy bolstering our ego, bolstering our image of who we want to be versus who God sees us as. They might be totally different things. And can we open ourselves up to the God who loves you exactly who you are, who loves the true self that most of us have a hard time seeing, but it's there. It's always there. It's always available. It requires a little humility. It requires, like I said, a little bit of dying. And then all of this new life comes springing forth. And like I mentioned before, then we see things differently. We experience things differently. We experience, we can become more godlike, more compassionate, more merciful, more loving. It's all possible. And that's why we come here. We come here to hear the story, to hear that what is happening has always been happening. And what is happening is salvation is broken into our world through the gift of the incarnation that we celebrate in this season, and that we celebrate even beyond that, the resurrection. And this life promised us in the future that we can live here and now. So even though family life can sometimes be messy, and that was my experience at times, at the same time, all kinds of possibilities are in that potential. And as we continue to grow and as we continue to make mistakes, no doubt, we know that we'll be forgiven. We'll know that there will be somebody to pick us up and help us. And that's what we try to do for each other as family and as community.